We're going to talk right now about bogus charges of white supremacy against conservative groups such as CPAC, just because of the stage they even had at the recent conference. Hello and welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is A.J. Swinson. She is the chief of staff at New Journey PAC, which is an organization that is acting as a bridge to black voters and conservatism. And she's a graduate of Liberty University, and in the past she has also worked for Star Parker. Their website is newjourneypac.org. And it's good to have you on, AJ. Thank you for joining us.
I'm honored to be here, Jerry. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Now, recently, just a couple weekends ago, was the conservative conference, the CPAC. Former President Trump spoke there and so forth. And I understand there was some sort of controversy, or some people tried to find controversy in the way this stage was even set, and they, made allegations of white supremacy over the stage.
So this is the unfortunate, well, beyond unfortunate, this is a desperate aspect of leftist politicians and journalists. They went to say that the stage was shaped like a Nazi symbol that was at some point used among the Hitler youth on their collars and things like that. And they tried to say, CPAC will try to say that this was an accident or that it's totally baseless. But we know that they're actually trying to call to white supremacists and that the Nazis will see the size of their stage and know that they're with them. So that's just a little bit of the background of this. The stage is hearkening to Nazis. And so when I saw this, every single year, CPAC, anything conservative is lambasted as racist. And this just shows the desperation of leftists to make this connection. This stage was created by a liberal company that has worked for Joe Biden. They designed the stage. So for you to argue, about as liberal as possible, I think their organization, out of the millions that they've donated to politicians, they've donated, I think, $140 to a conservative candidate. So the idea that CPAC went out of their way to use this, virtually not well-known symbol as a hearkening to all the Nazis in the country was such a reach, but yet it was reported in the Washington Post, in Salon, in USA Today. That's what was shocking to me as well.
Well, I saw portions of President Trump's speech. I didn't happen to notice the stage. What was the symbol like? It wasn't a swastika, but what was it like?
I would best describe it as it was diamond shaped, and then it had an arc out that looked kind of like a arrow, the end of an arrow sign going in both directions. So basically what it allowed was
like a thunderbolt,
a main
almost
stage. Yeah, kind of like not two, the thunderbolt is kind of two arcs. It was just one arc on one side, one arc on the other. That's the best way that I could describe it. It kind of looks like a collar with the extra arcs at the end. And so they said, this is Odal Rune. This is what these soldiers used to have on their collars. This is the same symbol.
Yeah.
And this was purposeful. And I was really disappointed in this because I think as much as this is what happens to African-American voters. Leftists say, Joe Biden said, if you vote for Mitt Romney, he's going to have y'all back in chains to a largely black audience. They're going to have you picking cotton. This is the type of things that Democrats say to try to remind African-American voters and to associate Republicans and conservatives with racism. With this, they're trying to associate to the Jewish community, the Republican or conservative base, with Nazism and white supremacy. So they're constantly trying to paint conservative this way because they think that if they can do that, they can keep minorities far too afraid to look truly at the conservative principles and how it aligns with their values. because they'll be afraid, basically. It uses the history, the harmful history that both have experienced against them. And I'm tired of these scare tactics.
You know, it's interesting, too, that so often conservatives are likened to Adolf Hitler. But if you actually look at a lot of the details related to the Nazis and so forth, you realize, my goodness, there's a lot, you know, that the liberals have more in common, frankly. I'm not saying the liberals are Nazis, per se. Okay. But let's face it, Nazi stands for National Socialist German Workers' Party. So, I mean, the socialists, that's a huge tip off. You know, who's in favor of socialism today? Who's opposed to socialism today? Hello? You know, but anyway, these analogies get used all the time. And after a while, it's like the boy that cried wolf.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because the leftists in the past, not only were leftists the ones that were pushing slavery, and were pushing, you know, this idea that Democrats were pushing this idea, oh, blacks are not equal to white people, and that's why they should be slaves. And where did they get this from? They got this from the Nazis. They actually were using Nazi terminology. This was early in that period that was coming out of Germany. They were using this ideology to say this is why slavery is justified. So it's shocking to me that historically they were the ones that used Nazi terminology to protect their own interests. And now they spend all day, I guess, I don't know if it's because of guilt. It's really just because they want to deceive. They want to make people today who don't understand this history think that, oh, they're the ones that are associated with this. But they're actually trying to cast off what they did in the past onto other people.
But wait, I don't understand what you're saying about the, I mean, obviously slavery in America, this ends technically in 1865 with the end of the Civil War. We don't see the Nazis, you know, until the 1930s in Germany. But obviously there was a lot of Jim Crow activity and so forth in the interim between, you know, those 80 years or so. But I'm not sure I follow everything you were saying about the leftists of today, you know, hearkening back to the Nazis, if that makes sense.
So the terminology that was used eventually by the Nazis had already existed for a certain amount of time.
Oh, I
so
see.
There,
so
and
the,
I can't,
yeah.
Yes.
So the Nazis were,
so the
were
same,
using, yeah, go ahead.
Right. You get it. So the comparison that I'm making is that the ideology that was becoming rampant in Germany, we see the rise of Hitler as, oh, this is when, you know, that's when that happened in the 30s. But no, that ideology had been around for a while and was being used against Jewish people to say that, oh, they're lesser people and that's why they deserve to be in the bottom, et cetera. It didn't start with the rise of Adolf Hitler. It was an ideology that already existed.
So in other words, it was taking human beings who were made in the image of God and dehumanizing certain subcategories and so forth, that kind of thing. I see what you're saying. Okay. You know, by the way, the analogies towards Hitler, you know, here's another thing, too. I imagine since you went to Liberty University, you probably are not a big advocate of evolution. I'm certainly not. And one of the last programs the late Dr. D. James Kennedy made, which was called Darwin's Deadly Legacy, and I personally had the privilege to work on it with him and for him and so forth. But this made the point that a lot of people don't realize the Holocaust was all about trying to speed up Darwinian evolution. In other words, they assumed that Darwinian evolution was true. So the goal was, let's go ahead and weed out the weak and, you know, subhuman type people like the Jews or whatever, kill all these people, get them out of the gene pool. You know, that's what the whole thing was all about. And frankly, you know, belief in evolution as a starting point is one of the main tenets of the left, not, you know, a tenet of conservatives.
And it's true. struggle also with the movement we see today with abortion and euthanasia.
Yeah.
That's an outreach of that same ideology. It's a branch of it. And, you know, Charles Darwin believed that, you know, there were races of people or groups of people that were less evolved than others. And natural selection says that only the strong should survive. So basically by cutting off the chaff or the weaker people, that's where we get, you know, today's abortion and euthanasia movement from. And that's why there are countries today where they're, to, you know, spread that idea as well, where they are against people being born with disabilities. With mental or any type of disabilities, because it's that evolutionary view that these are weak. This is weakness in the gene pool. That's just evolution at work. And it's an unfortunate branch that did stem and still today is a part of the democratic leftist movement.
And in contrast to this is the biblical idea that man is made in the image of God. Therefore, we have value. And I think that's really important. Now, how do we... I'm sure, AJ, you must be frustrated by this idea that on the one hand, you know all kinds of black people, many of whom are very personal, are very, in their own personal life and view, they're actually very conservative in terms of their values. For example, they might not be in favor of abortion and so forth. But so often when people vote, the voting doesn't seem to reflect those values. So how is that? And how does the black conservative movement shore up so we can get people, you know, voting their biblical values more? And by the way, the same thing, same need exists obviously in the white community as well. But I'd like to hear your perspective as a black woman.
Well, yes, I agree. You know, we see a lot of these conservative values in the black community. The issue, I think, is actually a political one to a certain degree, and that's why New Journey PAC, the political action committee I work for, that's why it exists. New Journey is seeking to do what the Republican Party has not been able to figure out how to do. And this is not just the Republican Party, by the way. The Democratic National Committee uses outside organizations to do the large part of their outreach to black and minority voters. But the Republican Party is not necessarily doing that. And so we're working in the conservative world to say, hey, we need to do outreach. We need to be in these communities. We need to have ads on BET, on TV1, on these different channels where people will see them. And so when you don't have politicians willing or, you know, in some ways who are too afraid to go and do outreach in a certain community, we have these issues. Black people voted largely Republican for the majority of American history. Even if we go back recently, Eisenhower got 30% of the black vote. You know, that's the 1930s there.
50s,
so it
Eisenhower,
started to
yeah.
50s there.
Yeah.
1950s there. So we think it's ancient history, you know, but 50 or so years ago, this wasn't the way that it is now. And the breakdown has happened because the Republican Party has not continued outreach. You know, our founder, James Golden, or Bo Snerdly, was the producer for Rush Limbaugh all those years.
Mm-hmm.
When he grew up, he had a GOP office in his neighborhood in New York. But as he grew up, that office left.
Mm.
So you kind of saw a desertion of these areas when they said, oh, we think we can win another way. You saw this desertion. Now, the Bushes did not go with that. George W. Bush actually came to my church as a child.
Mm.
I was a part of a mega church here in the Washington, D.C. area, First Baptist Church of Glenard, and George Bush came and attended a service with us.
Hmm. We have about 10 seconds left. 10 seconds left. Go ahead.
So I just want to say, if you want the black vote, it's possible, but you have to build a groundwork of outreach, of media, of boots on the ground to reach those voters and to convince them to come back to the conservative party. Come back home.
NewJourneyPAC.org for more information. Thank you, AJ, for all the best.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye now.